Welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast with a very ornery DM. We are coming to you all the way from the frozen north. It's not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get together with one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices in our head out to play.
We have a really ornery DM?
No!
Ornery!
Oh my god!
Seth.
Sorry.
I heard you correctly.
What can I say?
Thank you.
I'm Veda, playing Solana.
I'm Zed, playing the pervert, I guess.
I'm Wasey, playing Dacian.
I'm Anna, playing Maeve.
I'm Colton, and I'll be your DM today. Let's roll to see who's doing our crazy recap.
Oh man, we didn't even prep this.
No, we didn't.
No, going cold. I got a 15 though, so
18.
I'm good.
18.
This is cocked.
That's not true.
It's a 10.
Well, it's okay. I got a 4. I'll pull up.
Do you need me to pause?
Just read word for word the notes I wrote.
Okay.
And it'll probably be very bad, but I'll be good.
Really bad, but it'll be good. I'm excited.
Time.
Sorry, I didn't read it. Time. What? The time hasn't started yet. Okay. Tell me when.
Ready? Set. Go.
Bond doesn't want to come to the circus. The marvelous Maddox reenacts the Bond saving the town from the shadows with Sullivan, and then Maddox meets up with Sullivan afterward to talk about the shadows, and he finds nothing but gives him the stone.
Nice. With a second to spare.
Nice.
My notes are good.
Yes, good notes. They really are. I appreciate your note-taking and your doodling with the note-taking.
That's how I read things.
Mm-hmm.
He appreciates it because he would be bored otherwise.
All right. So that's where we're going to pick up. The evening is upon you. Maddox leaves the crowd briefly and has a moonlight little intermission meeting with the head of the circus. What are the rest of you guys up to?
I would be walking around, listening in on conversations to see if anyone was talking about what Maddox performed, about specifically Bond and Shadows.
So you're listening to see if you hear anyone talking about
the marvelous Maddox and his show.
Yeah, why don't you give me an investigation check?
Sure. Twelve.
So, milling about towards the end of the show, when you guys were hanging out, people were already kind of tapering off, and it was just the drunkest, rowdiest, or sleepiest, fell over, and stayed there-iest people that remained. The beeriest.
The diehard fans.
Yeah. You hear some of them talking, like, sort of along the lines of, what do you think that was about? I don't know, man, but the theatrics and the magic was so top-notch. I've seen better. What have you seen better? And it's just kind of that kind of a discussion going on. Peering around, you don't see any stalwart, mysterious figures with their hoods drawn, peering anywhere other than Dacian's there with his hat sticking out a little bit. And that's about it.
Okay. I guess she would just chill and wait for Maddox to get back.
No, I don't know. Maddox, do you return to the crowd when you're done, or you go about your own business?
Sorry, it looked like you were popping a zit on your nose.
No.
That's great. I don't remember if I told them. I'm pretty sure I told the group I was with that I was going to meet with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I
did. You did.
So yeah, after I was finished with him, I would have gone back to find them and kind of give him pretty much tell him that he was useless and didn't know anything.
Okay. Dacian and Maeve, what are you guys up to before and as Maddox returns and does that?
Well, I think Dacian would have been lingering around the guy's wagon in case Maddox needed anything.
Hmm.
So he would be just... That was in the area of the fireplace, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, he would be sitting there.
Okay.
Warming himself.
And Maeve?
Maeve would be talking to all of the members of the circus, not about anything particular, just talking.
Okay.
She could get information out of them, but not trying very hard.
Okay. So you're just asking them open-ended questions or what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So it's quite a collaboration of individuals from all sorts of walks of life. They're successful business people that gave it all up to pursue adventure, and there's hobos off the street that found an equitable skill in their ability to juggle and stay sober for more than two nights at a time, and this and that, all walks of life of people from different parts of the continent. You're learning a lot of interesting things. Some of it's quite believable, some of it seems like a stretch, but none of it seems to be pertaining to shadow people or devious plots within the city. You talk a lot about the politics inside of the caravan.
Mm-hmm. Anything interesting there?
Oh, the tumblers get all the credit.
Mm.
They also get hurt and they make the biggest deal out of it, which is ridiculous because the cleric heals them like as they are injured, and they get the most attention out of it, where everyone else has to take turns mucking out the kobold wagon. Tumblers get to skip that. Mm. Preposterous.
If Solana was alone with all the drunkards, she would probably go find Maeve and Dacian,
mm-hmm.
feeling very out of place. That she's not... Yeah, she wouldn't feel comfortable, so she'd leave and go try to find one of them.
Do you guys have further plans that night? Would you be meeting back at Maeve's house or going your separate ways?
I'd be going back to Maeve's house.
Oh, that makes sense.
Solana would just check that everyone was good, and then once we're all, like, back and had a conversation, she'd go back to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Maddox has plans.
Okay.
So Maddox finishes his deal with the Sylvester.
Sullivan?
Sullivan.
Sylvester Stallolovan. That's the title of this episode.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
I don't want to. Comes out of the wagon, sees Dacian sitting by the fire, and he just kind of puts his hat back on after coming out and goes over to Dacian and sits down next to him, says,
Well, how'd it go?
Well, that whole thing was a waste of time.
Well, I suppose in one sense that's a good thing. In another, yeah, that was a waste of time.
I don't think that any of these people know anything about anything outside of their little... cult.
Okay.
I did give him a talking stone, and I believe that he is going to let us know if he does hear anything about anybody pursuing shadow stuff.
Hmm.
But I don't think he knows anything right now.
Okay.
Have you seen Solana? I don't feel like this is really the place that she would like to be right now.
I think she's over with Maeve.
My statement stays the same.
I didn't disagree. I just told you where I thought she was. Well, I guess we're back to square one. We just do the best we can and hope nothing happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm beat. I used up most of my magic on that show. And it was fun.
Quite theatrical.
Well, it'll get people talking. But also, I
put a bullseye on your back.
Not just mine. I think, the hero I portrayed in that story was Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
So we know if he goes down, boom.
True.
Hopefully he'll contact us before that happens. If that happens. I don't care.
How is he going to do that, though?
I gave him the talking stone.
Who is he going to talk to?
Another one of us with the talking stone.
Well, does he know who I am?
No. Give me the talking stone.
Okay. Here you go. Jason would hand it over to Maddox.
Hate it when you say smart stuff. plan was going so well. Well, I say that I'm tired and out of ideas and would like to just check and make sure that they're okay before I head home.
Fair enough. It's been a bit of a day. Disappointing.
Well, I think...
But we didn't end up getting beat up either.
No. Bright side, I heard from a very reliable source that Maeve might be joining the circus.
Really?
Which would free up my mind considerably.
Put your mind at ease, huh?
Yes. And Solana had a great time.
Hmm.
So I guess it wasn't a waste of time.
Yeah.
But definitely didn't get what we wanted.
No. No. All right. Well, let's check on them and call it a night.
Deal. All right. Lead the way. I don't know where they are.
He would head over to where he thought Solana and Maeve were.
No, yeah. They're still there along with Morph.
Okay.
God, he was with us.
Yeah. He's actually lying spread eagle on the ground. He found, like, a kind of loose... It looks like actually it was legitimately someone's skirt that is no longer being worn by them. It's clean, and he's wearing it like a blanket. And his hat is pulled down over his head, and he's spread eagle on the ground, and his chest is rising and falling slightly as he snores in the grass. Not grass. This is a desert. In the dirt.
Maeve, I think your kid's drunk.
Maeve would look down, put her hands on her hips, scoff, and pick him up and throw him over her shoulder.
He did bear, in the dim light, a shocking resemblance to Pip. Which is, you know, kind of interesting. Makes you wonder, like, what kind of decisions it takes for someone to end up like Pip did.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, it might be Pip's son.
So, why don't you give me an investigation check?
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh.
Eight.
The thought will not leave your mind.
It's just going to kind of linger there every time I see Pip. Who moved out?
Who moved out. Yep.
That's great.
It's not in the shape of the face. It's kind of in the nose, in the eyes, in the build. The only thing that really throws the scent off is Pip is intolerably, unexcusably, unequivocally lazy, and Morph seems to know how to get down and work a bit. So it's a hard sell.
Like, have this bit of dislike that's growing towards Morph. I'm not really quite aware of it. I just start to resent him a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my.
All right. So is everyone headed home then?
Yeah.
Maddox, what's your home look like these days?
Tatters.
Tatters.
It's still beat up from the storm. It's still got sand piles all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I never cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I'm still like sleeping on a mattress that's like under the sand pile.
Mm-hmm.
Like sleeping on the sand that's on top of the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just too lazy to clean it up.
I forgot. Was the door left on or off?
Off.
Off. Okay.
Yeah. So no door. Thankfully nothing worth stealing in there. Mm-hmm. But they'd have to clean the sand off to steal it, so it might do me a favor. Except for the stool out front. That's my most prized possession right now.
So you are kind of kicking things around, getting ready for bed or whatever, and you see a dim light outside, and it looks like it's refracting in glass, and you recognize the shades of orange that are cast by a lantern. And Aloysius taps on the side of your door and peeks his head around and goes, "Hey, what's good?"
"Hey, Al, long time no see. I was wondering if you were still kicking."
"Doing okay. Doing pretty decent, if I do say so myself. Moving up in the world, you know.
Big man in town.
There's a power vacuum, so."
"You've got responsibilities now."
"My dad always said that I would amount to nothing, but..."
"Where is he now?"
"In a ditch somewhere."
"Oh.
My dad's Pip." "No, I'm
kidding." "Pip, you dog." "Well, what can I do for you, Al?"
I'd swing by and see if you wanted to play a couple hands of cards."
I, like, put my hand in my pocket and feel, like, my last like 10 gold pieces because I keep spending it as I get it. Oh yeah, that's gone. say, you know what? I do want that.
Great. Well, we can play here, or we can play back in my new pad if you want.
Let's do that. just leave the door where it is.
Oh, okay. I've got chairs now.
Oh, wow, that's already better than my place.
And a table, card table, so. A
table and chairs. Al, you have moved up in the world. Do you have a pillow?
I do have an excellent pillow.
I had a pillow once.
I barely get to use it. It's actually quite odd that I have enough time to hang out for a moment now. There's a lot of people and organizations that are pining for power in the city at the moment.
Yeah. You know, while we play cards, I'd like to pick your brain on something that... Any more recent development in that... Since that incident with Billy.
All right. We'll start with pleasure and then maybe move to business.
Take it slow. See where the night leaves us.
All right. So he takes you back to the crib, you know, pulls the blanket aside that acts as a door. There are two guards. You did not recognize them. They look fairly fresh, not too haggard, more of the hired sort and less of the employed by necessity sort. And they're out front. They're not inside. He offers you some simple refreshment, water out of a tin pitcher in some metal cups, keeps it nice and cool. And you guys are shooting cards for a bit, and you know, just kind of he's keeping steering the conversation far from anything of import, anything substantial, anything that matters. He's asking you about drinks. He's asking you about you know, if you saw the new gal who's making the rounds with the biscuits around here. She's pretty cute.
And yeah. Mess with him. Her.
So how do you want to, how do you picture cultivating this situation?
Get him wasted. Maybe okay. Turn the card game into a drinking game.
Sure. Do you have any spirits?
No.
You want to push him to get his out?
Yes.
Sure. Give me a persuasion check. Won't need to be very high.
No, I would say something like...
He needs to blow off steam.
The only thing better than cards and chatting with an old friend is a drink. And I rolled a 9.
A 9, okay. That is enough. Again, I like to point out, at least in my opinion, that a 10 is like an above average ability to do something in the world. And the only reason that characters like you guys roll so high at things is because you are very far from the status quo. So a 9 is a perfectly normal, hey, do you want to have a drink request? And Al is a perfectly normal crook. He has who's come into some money. So,
and he likes drinking.
Yeah, he walks over to the cabinet that's in the corner, the same one that you fetched that little writing box out of. And he bumps it like the Fonz, and it opens up, and you can see like three different crystal decanters, and he's like, white, brown, or wine?
In honor of my friend Dacian, let's go with white.
He pulls out the clear spirits and pours a couple of glasses, and fancy, like, sharply grooved glass cups that if you squeezed them tightly, like, they'd leave imprints in your hands. In kind of dwarven patterns, and he says, I don't have any ice, I'm not that rich yet, and honestly, I never cared for this stuff so much.
I drink it for the effect more than the temperature.
Maybe it's a power move. I like the way you think. Go ahead, what were you going to say?
Oh, no.
No, you go.
No, you. No, after you go. Please. Age before beauty. well, Al, I really like what you've done with the place. I think you'll do far better at this job than Billy did. Is it a lot harder than you thought it was going to be?
So far, it is. The work is easier, but the demand of my attention is far greater than I would have anticipated, given the circumstances. Everybody is snapping and yipping for the same scraps of meat, and I can barely sleep. Mm. However, that kind of draws me pleasure aside, maybe putting a little business on the table over a drink with a friend. Billy's biggest issue was that he could not see the value of things. He slept on that same gross pillow for 10 years. I saw him blow his nose into that thing. Never saw the value. Never saw what it meant to have the finer things in life. And he certainly didn't see the value in people. I mean, those two lackeys of his that he kind of ran around with, you know, me and the guy, may rest in peace. He never saw the value in us. And we were pretty loyal to him. And the other thing is, he never saw the value in you. He saw you as someone to pull over at cards on, you know, a late night when he had nothing better to do. Small potatoes.
That is one of my talents.
I've seen the people that you run with and roll with, and I would be much more interested in keeping you on retainer for some potential job opportunities, just to keep things civil. I could offer three different sorts. I could offer above the table work. It's legitimate. Nobody gets in trouble. Maybe some people get bruised or some egos get crushed, but nothing illegal. I could offer you that sweet, sweet down the middle work where you can choose how above or below the table you want to approach the situation. Maybe it's much easier below the table, but your morals make you do it the hard way. Pays the same either way. Or if you are looking into the opportunity to make some real coin, then I could give you some under-the-table work, the likes of which you don't want to follow you home, but pays you well enough that you can move your home.
Maddox, first sees a flashback to Maeve, like, pretty much putting her mouth on the pillow, getting drool all over it, and all of a sudden he's like, a little smile comes off. Like, all right, sweet, sweet revenge. then he pulls out a coin, and he tosses it onto the table as if to raise the bet on whatever game they were playing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he says, "Al, I'll tell you, I've never much cared for coin. It's handy. It helps me play games. It helps me eat. But I also have never placed much value on the finer things in life. A lot like Billy.
Your new duds are pretty nice."
Yeah, I just got tired of the dirty looks, mostly. I'll tell you what I do value is information. And I would be willing to do a job or two for you. Somewhere in that middle ground, maybe. Maybe a little below is all right, depending on the kind of information you have. And I'm interested in a few different areas, if that's a trade you'd be willing to make.
I mean, I would need to know your request before I make an agreement. If it were anyone else, I would just say, sure, sure, and, you know, kill you if you ask the wrong thing. But, again, I see the value in people, and so to keep things honorable, as we are neighbors and have known each other for some time, I would want to know what information you're looking for ahead of time. Hey, boys! And you hear the blanket move a little bit. One of the guys pokes his head in. He's like, "I want you to take a walk and make sure no one's within earshot of the place. That includes your own selves. Get lost. Come back in 5. And they're like, "What?" And they kind of march off and out in opposite directions. And you hear him kind of walking the perimeter. And Al Wishes lowers his voice. He says, "Information is very valuable in this city. And most cities, I imagine. It's really the difference between life and death, or success and failure. So I appreciate you are seeing the value in it. What information piques your interest?"
2 areas. 1, well, the Billy situation. You know, Bon, the giant that came in with the Billy was after. I want to know who was after her, really. Who was pulling the strings. Anything in regards to their future plans. I imagine that might be one of the bits that all the people are grabbing for in that power vacuum, but that's probably a larger bit, more like a steak. The other is any information in the underground about Pendleton Wick and his current whereabouts, or any information on his castle, or anything that he's been working on recently. Sightings, hearsay, messengers, anything like that.
Give me a persuasion check.
16?
16. He raises a finger and moves it slowly at you, and he says, "Maddox, here's what I'll do for you. Pendleton Wick, I don't know much about him, but I've got a lot of boys. And they've got their friends, and they all drink in the same joints, and they all rub shoulders with the greats and the leasts, and so I could send out feelers on that one. Be happy to do that. Then once I have any information, I could determine of what value it is to you, and weigh that against what value you are to me, and we could come to an arrangement. As for your first question, I'll give you a little information just to establish rapport between us as two up-and-coming businessmen in this, the Sun City, or as it were," and he like kind of looks out the window where you can see the silhouette of the wall in the kind of orange of the night sky. Well, it's not orange, but like the purple hues of the night sky. He says, "Just outside of the Sun City." And he says, giantess, this large kiddo, that was a bad deal. I don't have very many morals, but it left a bad taste in my mouth. None of the wet work went down on our account. We were just to handle the package, quote unquote, once it arrived at the city. We're supposed to drop it off at a warehouse, and we all kind of knew the package was probably a person, but we weren't really supposed to do anything more than let them use our warehouse for the handoff and provide kind of some toughs to make sure everything went smoothly. Of course, everything did not go smoothly in a plethora of ways. And I came out on top, which is why I'm happy to share this information with you. Most of this you could have deduced or probably have already learned on your own, except maybe the warehouse bit. But this you probably don't know. And this is a valuable bit of information, and the only reason that I'm sharing with you now is because I want nothing to do with it. Not a damn thing to do with it. There is a substantial amount of money that is being thrown at any individual who can discreetly provide someone who qualifies as a sorcerer. Not a wizard, apparently. I don't know magic. Not a cleric praying witchy person, not one of those tree people druids, but a sorcerer. So they get the power, evidently, from themselves, not from changing other things, or from a god or goddess or deity, or like a warlock make a deal with some entity. They draw power from themselves. They're like a well of power. Some would say like a battery. And if you keep your nose to the ground, you would notice that the sorcery wing of the academy has been closed for, I don't know. How long has that Pendleton Wick guy been missing for? It's about the same amount of time. Which is kind of interesting, if you ask me. Remarkably, there was just an abundance of sorcerers in the world that made their way to the Sun City to study at the academy how to shape and craft with their power. And now there's, I only know of one. And you probably have a better idea of where she is than I do.
Oh, didn't you hear?
No.
She was killed during that attack.
Well, that's awfully tragic. But I don't want anything to do with this. Too much attention, too much money, too many secrets. The most powerful wizard anyone's ever known missing. I just want to pay my guys to punch rich people that got a little too drunk in the alleyway and take their purses. I just want to keep the sewers free of goblins so that my boys can run around willy-nilly and kind of have their say underneath the city and catch the coins that fall through the cracks. And I just want to employ people that I trust and are maybe going places. If you surround yourself with people that are going places, I think you'll be all right in this world. So I tell you this, and you didn't hear it from me, and I don't have a contact. If you want to cash in on something like that, you're going to have to do it on your own. And if you want to avoid something like that, now you know what you're not looking for.
Okay. Well, Al, that was the easiest job I ever done. Thanks. You paid really well.
He takes that coin he took, or tossed on the table. He says, "Aye," and he bites it. He says, "Do see value in coin." And he drops it in his chest pocket. And he says, "Now, if I hear anything about this Pendleton guy, then we'll talk."
I'm going to raise my glass that he gave me. Al, to future endeavors and future friendships. Cheers.
And he clinks your glass and he says, "And to raking you over with cards."
Oh, I lost again. I imagine they'll just stay there for quite a while.
So, you have a pretty grand night, and you're retiring. You're gonna crash out, and you hear this voice in your head, and it says, "Who is the owner of this sending stone?"
Maddox Highguard.
Maddox Highguard. What is your position? Are you currently in the Sun City?
Who am I speaking to?
That does not matter.
Kind of does.
And then you kind of hear, like, maybe some mumbling? And then you hear, "Tell me about yourself, Maddox Highguard."
"Well, my favorite color is purple. I was raised in a family of four. I didn't get along with most of my siblings. They're all dead now. My dad wanted me to be a farmer, and I did that for a while, but then I stopped."
Give me a perception.
Nat 20.
Natural 20. You get the distinct sense that something is trying to divulge where you are.
Like GPS?
Kind of.
Like GPS honing in on the stone?
You just feel very vulnerable and exposed, which is odd because you're in the slums and in your own house.
I'm going to cast Dispel Magic on the stone.
Okay.
Just immediately, like mid-conversation, like I'm telling them about my story, and then I'm just like, "Oh, sorry, we're getting, yeah, cut, go to tunnel." And do that.
Yeah. The stone, like you cast that on it, and it sits there midair for just a moment and then drops, and it's heavier when it lands, and everything is quiet.
Do I still get that feeling?
I'm going to say the feeling doesn't go away.
Okay, I'm going to...
But there are no voices.
I'm going to go outside and chop the rock down the street.
Okay.
In the direction of Al's house.
All right.
And then I'm going to go stay at Daisy's house. crawl up the back. I'm super clumsy, just like you hear me a mile away. Mm-hmm. Like I break a rain gutter off. Use it to tap on your window. Dason!
Who else had a sending stone?
I think Maeve had it.
Maeve, yeah. I
Maeve has one?
And Bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does Bond still have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. There's only three. Mm-hmm. Maddox had somebody's because he gave it to Sullivan. And then he got mine from, or Dacian's from Dacian.
Yeah, so Bond had one.
I'm sure you have
one. I think you had I think Maddox had gotten it from Solana or Maeve.
Yeah, so Bond still has hers.
So Bond had one. I got one from Solana and gave it to Sullivan. And I got one from you. So that's all three. So Bond's the only other one with one.
Okay. Bond is the only other person who has a stone.
Yes. In the world.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes. So, Maeve, what did your evening look like when you got home?
Put Morph to bed, roughly. Finish up the dishes from the mess that she left. And she'd probably sit and talk with Bond about how the circus went and all the things that they learned or didn't learn and speak in disparaging terms of Maddox's show.
Sure.
But he didn't believe. He doesn't listen. He's just super in love with Maddox's show and wants to be a magician.
Yeah.
Who, Bond or Morph?
Morph.
He's asleep.
Morph is asleep. I thought that's who you're talking
to. No, I'm talking to Bond.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, Bond did the same thing.
Bond wants to be a magician now.
I would like to be a magician.
Bond, whenever you're talking, she just sits there looking at you very intensely with her fingers like steepled underneath her chin and nods slowly. And then after you, like, you pause and you're not sure how long you've been talking. And Bond nods her head a little bit more and she says, You speak much. Where I'm from, after supper, we played a game. It was called, I was very good at it. I don't think that you would be very good at it.
I'm good at games.
But you could try. It was called the quiet game.
Where I'm from, we don't speak to our
elders. Oh, you're losing. You're losing.
Good night.
good night.
And Bond says, I win.
So you're all tucked in and ready for bed, and then you hear the house shifting, and you hear, you can kind of see in the dim lantern that's hanging outside of your doorway, you can see a shadow, and then there's just this pretty meaty, hefty, and then you hear, Maeve.
Who is it?
It's Bond.
Bond's upstairs.
Bond, the Rock is talking.
What?
The Rock is talking. And she just opens your door, and she's holding the sending stone in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it's talking to me, but it's not Dacian or Maddox or Solana.
Who is it?
I don't know. And she just drops it in your hand, and you hear, who is the owner of this sending stone?
Well, I think it came from the palace, eventually. The Magic Institute, something like that. It's had a lot of owners. Why?
Who am I speaking with currently?
None of your business. Who are you?
Tell me more about your situation. I would like to hear about your day.
No. I would like to hear about your name.
Absolutely. I can answer any questions that you like. Please stay on the line.
Maeve is going to take it and look. I'm just going to shake her head and go, nope, and march downstairs and...
Give me a perception check.
And chuck it into the woods.
In the woods. There's no woods. You're in a city.
The woody cornfield.
The woody cornfield. Yeah, no, I don't even look at it. So you do. What are you doing? Tell me.
Well, what's your name?
My name is William Thomas.
William Thomas what?
Those are my only two names.
What's your occupation, William Thomas?
I am a finder. I find things. I found this stone and wanted to return it to its rightful owner. Where can I find you?
What kind of things do you find, William Thomas?
Usually just trouble, you know.
I do know very well. What kind of trouble do you find, William Thomas?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. And how long do you discuss? Because he just keeps throwing you vanilla answers.
Maeve would get bored
mm-hmm.
very quickly.
And like, oh, well, I've got better things to do. Bye. And drop it like in a drawer.
In a drawer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So he answers questions. He tells you about his occupation as basically a finder. He talks about finding things for people that they lost at, you know, taverns or you're heading home. And he talks in that monotone voice about how hard it is to make it in the city and all of this with this. It's almost like he's reading off a script or reading something that's being written in front of him. Like if you've ever saw somebody doing live text and you just read it as it goes out loud, kind of a deal, like a telecaster or something.
Teleprompter,
yeah. Very odd. And you drop, what else? Anything else? Just go to bed?
Yep.
Drop it in a drawer, go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent. Dacian, Maddox comes knocking.
At the window.
Maddox, don't just stare at me.
You're not recognized at the door, and they let you in.
Hmm? Oh, I thought I climbed up the back and was tapped on the window.
Sure, okay. That's even better. That's
he would open it, look quizzically at Maddox, and motion for him to come in.
Hey, just thought we might have a little sleepover, you know, like the old days that we never did.
What's wrong?
Oh, nothing. I just figured you might have something you wanted to talk about. The stone started talking.
What stone?
The sending stone. It's gone. I threw it.
Can you find it again?
No.
It was talking. It wasn't Spawn or Sullivan.
No, some robot-sounding guy was asking me questions about my name and where I was, and then I started getting the sense that they were somehow honing in on the signal from the stone. So I got rid of the magic on it, but the feeling was still there, so I chucked it down the road.
Okay.
And then I came here.
Okay.
And that's all.
So how would they have found you with the stone from somewhere else? Did they find Sullivan?
We got these...
Or Bond?
We got these stones from the goblin, didn't we?
We got... Solani bought them.
From where?
I believe it was probably the...
I thought it was the goblin guy.
The apprentice...
The apprentice?
The apprentice started business thing.
The fraternity of creators.
Fraternity of creators.
It's a frat house of the academy that turns a profit making magic items that are licensed and approved.
Huh. Well, it must be somebody from the academy trying to track who has the stone.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask them. Do you think if they were tracking this stone, they're tracking the other stones?
Quite possibly. We should probably check on Bond and or Sullivan. Sullivan to see if he's dead and they got it. Or Bond if she's dead and they got it. Or I don't know why else they would be.
Right.
For us. Or you.
Bond's with Maeve, right?
She was.
How about you take Bond, I'll take Sullivan.
Okay. Meet back... where?
What's in between those places here?
So, Dacian's apartment is, I believe, just west of the palace. And the fairgrounds are all the way past the palace to the east, right close to the east gate. And then Maeve's manor and property is north of the palace. Close, but not right next to the north gate.
So the middle would be?
The middle would be right in the middle of the agricultural district.
Perfect. Let's meet right in the middle of the agricultural district.
So there's a large, wide road that goes all the way to the palace from the north gate. And there would be, like, if you If you met at the road that goes to the mouth, the well, that'd be like pretty much right in the middle and very easy to spot. And
let's meet at the well. Which one of us would pass by Solana's place on their way to their destination?
Let me see. You're going from Dacian's place. You would.
I would.
On the way to the fairgrounds, which are the market district and where they keep the animals for the caravans.
I don't think I would have mentioned it until after I left because I wouldn't have thought of it, but I'm like pretty tuckered out. So like on my way to Sullivan's, I'm like passing by the temple, I'm like sweating, tired, I'm like on second thought, I'm going to like go and try and find Solana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before you would have left, you would have said, either way, what if you find out anything or don't find out anything, meet back there sooner than later.
Sounds good.
And he would head off towards Maeve's place fairly efficiently, but not in any huge hurry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like a trot. Like a trudge. Trudging.
Like a Maeve. A Maeve
place. Trump, Trump. So, Maeve, you finally settle in bed after a long conversation over the rock. And Dacian pounds on the door. The front door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now what?
Dogs go ballistic. Yeah.
She's going to, like, check through the peephole and angrily throw it down. Dacian, what can I do for you?
Is Bon around?
She's in bed.
Okay. You seen her recently?
Not since she gave me the rock.
Was somebody talking to you through the rock as well?
Yes, it was a very dull conversation. I've never had a duller conversation in my entire life, and that's saying something.
Rock talks.
I've talked to my mother.
Because you're in all of the conversations.
Do you still have this rock?
It's in the drawer.
Could I see it?
Yeah, I guess so. Walk up and retrieve the rock and plop it in your hands.
You would take it and picture Sullivan and ask if he was there.
Okay. You picture what you remember of Sullivan from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you've never felt like a connection or anything when these things work. That's just about the long and short of it. You picture the person you want to talk to and you talk. And there is nothing. Give me a perception check.
17.
You get the sense, the feeling, that you are very exposed.
Hmm.
Pretty much as soon as you reach out with that rock, you're holding the rock, you think out, and you get overcome by that feeling you get when you hear a twig snap behind you, when you see a shadow move and the sun is behind you, when you hear hushed voices around the next corner.
Okay. He would drop the rock and move to the nearest place of shadow and cover and see if he felt that way still.
Yeah, you still have this feeling. Like, it's maybe fading. You don't know what set it off in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have the feelings.
The feels.
Them feels, man. Maybe you have no idea what he's doing.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe just sit and watch. What's going on?
I'm not sure. I think something is tracking us for some reason. I don't understand why it would be anybody that has a talking stone, but I think it's us. This group of them for some reason. I do not know why.
Hmm.
And maybe that somebody got to Sullivan and Maddox is headed that way to check it out right now. I'm going to go make sure he ends up being okay. You can come with me or not.
Probably going to go get rid of the rock. If it's somebody's tracking us, I don't want this thing in my house.
Yeah. I'm planning on using it as bait though.
You just take in case.
It. He would take one of his bags, pick it up with that, and tuck it in his pouch, and head towards the well.
Okay. So you've got the rock and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Solana.
Mm-hmm. Maeve would go with him.
What did... Maeve is in tow. Mm-hmm. What did your evening at the temple look like?
It was really late when she headed back, and she did have a few drinks, so she probably, like, extremely quietly, like, went in there and just went straight to her room and went to bed.
Okay.
Long, long day.
All right.
Of fun, and she's not too tired, so.
Yeah, there's a light tapping at your door, but give me a perception check. I'm going to say with disadvantage if you're zonked and asleep.
I got a 1 and a 3. So.
You are a sound sleeper.
Yeah. Maddox, the small red-haired man, young boy, really. I mean, not a young boy, young man, returns to you after you inquired after Solana. He was watching the front door and just greeting people, directing them to a space where they can pray quietly, letting them know when members of the temple would be available to console them, to conduct, you know, he's just your general night clerk, basically. Same boy somebody saw, Dacian saw, sweeping and getting bossed around by Solana's friend just a few days ago. But he comes back to you and says, she's not waking up. I don't know if she's in her room, but I knocked and she's not getting up, and I'm just a boy, and she's Solana, so I don't...
You're making a lot of excellent points. Tell you what, instead of you having to shoulder all that responsibility and blame, why don't you just tell me which room she's in, and then I'll just go say hi to her. It's very important that I talk to her, and we go way back.
Give me a persuasion check.
24. It was like on a 1 and then just like barely tilted over.
Popped over. Fate has spoken.
Yes. The D&D dice.
It's like the whole time you're talking, he just looks more and more nervous, and you can tell everything, every fiber of his being is saying, this is a bad idea. If anything goes wrong, it's going to be your fault. Red flags are going off like crazy in his head, but the social awkwardness of himself and in this situation, you just see him squint and wince and go, okay, she's right over there, and he like starts walking and he points down the hallway to the small rooms, and which one is Solana's. He's like,
thanks. What was your name again?
Edwin.
Okay, thank you, Edwin. Give him a little pat on the head.
Yeah.
And run down to the room. And I won't be nearly as gentle with my knocking.
Yeah. And you can hear him, and he's like, Sundia, please forgive me. Forgive me. Please don't let anything go wrong. Yeah. And Solana!
Give me
a perception check with disadvantage.
13. No, sorry. 16.
With disadvantage?
Nope.
13.
Sorry.
What a
roll. Oh, man. I don't hear.
I was thinking that 10 was less than 7.
Definitely.
I think probably you were thinking 10 was less than 13, which is...
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
13.
Wonderful. Yeah. You wake up to some pounding on your door. Your door's thin. It's very simple. It's very well constructed, but it's like just some boards that are attached together with some nails that are hung off of the joints in the walls. So very thin, like you can actually see light shining through it from the main hallway and everything. And you can see a shadow out there, and it, when you pound on it, it sounds very rickety and kind of hollow and pronounced, and someone's pounding on it.
Like a light pound. Like I'm doing a tap, but with the palm of my hand side.
All right.
So it's a light pound.
Dum, 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 dum.
Not just like, bing, 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 bing. Wake your freaking ass up!
All right.
Oh my, okay.
Like he said then.
She'll slumber out of bed and like crack the door open and be like, who is it? Kind of like squinting her eyes, trying to see with all the light out there.
Hey.
Maddox?
Yeah. Good morning. Night. Hi.
What are you doing here?
Your hair looks great. Hey, okay. Bit of trouble. Well, maybe trouble. But
trouble?
Maybe. Talking stones are being tracked. And one of them is with Sullivan, one of them is with Maeve. Dacian went to go check on Maeve's. I'm going to check on Sullivan. But I got nothing left in the tank, so I'm basically a straw dummy at this point.
Right.
So I'd like to have somebody around that can maybe sew the straw dummy back together. is that cool? Can you help me out here?
Give me 1 minute.
Okay.
She's gonna close the drawer. She's gonna get dressed. Cause she was in her pajamas.
nice hat.
Oh my gosh. She's gonna grab her pack and put her hat on. And then open the door and be like, can you repeat what you just said?
Are you awake?
Sure.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I don't know.
She can't see you, it's a podcast.
She's sitting right next to me. Let's talk on the go. I'll explain on the way.
Okay. Is everything okay?
No, I don't know. Maybe. It's possible.
It's so early.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know if they're okay.
That's okay.
They could be. They could not be. We're going to Sullivan's.
That's okay.
And, like, I'm explaining this while I'm out of breath because we're running.
We're running?
Yeah. Because I'm explaining on the way. So we're running over to Sullivan's caravan, cabin, wagon thing with the wheels that gets pulled by horses. At the circus. You liked the circus, right?
Okay.
We're going back to the circus! So we're going to the circus.
She's trying to catch up mentally as you're power walking away. Going to the circus, okay? And you make your way away from the temple and underneath the palace. There's kind of a straight shot up the street through the market district where all of the tents and the bazaars and the overhead blankets and stuff are on the left and right. And you see off to the right, where kind of where the warehouses are and where the caravans all meet and where the circus was, there's a little plume of smoke that's pretty black. Black smoke always tells you that, you know, there's some there's damp things burning, basically, which is usually uncommon, like dung or any wood or magical flame has no smoke at all. So for something damp to be burning is going to make some dark smoke and be pretty unusual. Or oil burning, you know.
As we're getting closer, I would turn us back to Salon and say, if you can open your eyes, look out for anything suspicious on the way there. And we gotta approach cautiously now, okay? Because I don't want to die. Okay?
I don't want to die either.
Okay, great. Let's not die together. It would be great.
Okay.
We're not going to die.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
Solana's going to keep her eyes that are, when they're open, out for anything she sees.
When they're open.
Give me a perception check.
Go.
Yeah.
I can't do math today. 14.
Okay.
13.
Okay. You guys both notice not very many people on the streets at all. Some suspicious folks here or there. Like, you know, late night folks, people hanging out in alleys, flipping quarters, you know, it's the night scene right now. You guys stick close together and make your way down one of the major streets of the city, so it's patrolled by guards. And the one thing you do notice for sure is the plume of smoke gets a little wider and seems to be billowing up pretty good. You come around the corner and you can see where all of the fairgrounds were set up. And you can see a glow on the multicolored stripes of the tents and the fabric that was hung up all around, the flags that are billowing just ever so slightly in the night breeze. There's an orange glow enveloping them, and you notice there's kind of a little bit of shouting. You can hear like a whip and some animals making kind of shocked noises, and you can see it looks, from a distance, it looks like an ant farm that got shook up. There's kind of people milling about in every direction away from a caravan wagon that is engulfed in flame. And you can see, as you draw it a little bit closer, it is, in fact, Sullivan's wagon. It's burning, and people are pulling other stuff away from it. They're dumping buckets on one of the tents that was behind him, kind of made up the back of the stage, that is going up very quickly. And people are pulling the kobold's wagon away from the stage. The large mast-like tumbler's pole is burning slightly on one side. And you see a figure that is in the firelight between the small fire that everyone was kind of camped around and the large fire of the wagon. You can see the silhouette, the form of Sullivan lying face down in the dirt, pointing away from his wagon. And he's about 5-7 feet in front of it, and he's not moving. And some people are kind of running towards the wagon with buckets. And that's where we're going to call this episode.
Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time, to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. I'm Anna, and I've played Maeve this evening, and most evenings on the podcast.
Just most evenings in general.
Yeah. I'm Veda, and I've been playing Solana.
Zed, playing Maddox.
And I'm Wasey, playing Dacia.
I'm Colton, I've been your DM. Thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do so on our socials. We got Frontier Fiction on Facebook and Frontier_Fiction on Instagram, right? Underscore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you message us, we will get back to you. Veda does a great job of getting back on the Instagram account, and I do a lousy job of getting back on the Facebook account, but I do it. It gets done. I will talk to you. I will talk to you. Dear listener. Yeah. I will talk to you, Zeb.
I'm Colton.
Hi.
It's been a while.
Please leave a 5-star rating and review.
Okay.
You already did. You already did.
I'm a loyal listener.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Catch you guys next week.
Merry Christmas.
Toodles.
Happy New Year.
Keep your stick on the gas.
Toodles.
I don't know what to say. Dead.
Whack.
Oh.
Yay.